Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, so good to see you, and so good to see some folks back that we haven't seen in a while. Dan, it's good to see you and have you back, and others as well. So glad that each of you are here. If you're visiting with us this morning, inside your bulletin, you'll see that there's a visitor's card that's attached that can be torn away. We encourage you, if you would, to fill that out and place it in the offering plate later in the service as it's passed, that we might have a record of your visit. We surpassed the Annie Armstrong goal, and Joe is celebrating that. Thank you, folks, for your generosity in your giving. Yes. Fantastic. I hope all the churches passed their goal this year, because we know how much good it does, because all of that money goes directly to the missionaries. If you are a t-shirt person and would like a t-shirt, we're having t-shirts made. And I love my church t-shirt with the name of the church on the back. Very inexpensive, $12 for a small to extra large, $16 extra large to 5X, 2X to 5X, okay? If you're interested, if you would see Bob's back there in the corner holding down that corner of the church back there. So just see him if you would have an interest in one of those shirts. Wednesday is our day of prayer, so we encourage you to participate either in our morning prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall, 7:30 in the library, or 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall in the evening. We had a great group Wednesday night, so it was good to see each of you, and we hope that we'll add to that number this coming Wednesday night. The ladies' Bible study begins this afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. 4 o'clock, am I right on that? The book, The Hard Good, Learn to Hope Again When Things Get Hard. Okay? So we hope that you'll come and join with those ladies this afternoon at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. This coming Thursday is our 39ers at 12 o'clock. The church is supplying the chicken, and you're to bring covered dish, and we'll have a time of bingo. Do we need to sign up for this, Anna? We do not need to sign up, but just show up with some peas or some potatoes or something, and we'll have a good time, whether you win at the bingo or not, okay? Next Sunday is a special day. It's our ladies' tea. Carla, would you like to share in that regard?
So we have, at last count, we have 5 different churches that I know of that will be joining us, ladies from their congregation. So we're very excited about this. And if you'll remember, last year we had about 120 women who attended, and it was very nice. And this year we're having Dr. Lou Ann Purcell, and most of you have at least met her either through WMU, or we have several people that have met her through the school systems. She will be coming and sharing with us. So invite your family. We will be here. It starts at 2, and we look forward to seeing you. Miss Nancy, I know you're here.
Back row.
There she is back. Miss Nancy needs you to let her know what food you will be bringing, and then if you will be a hostess for a table, let me know as well. Thank you so much.
We have a lot of things coming up in the near future. Let me just sort of run through these quickly. We have our business meeting on the 28th. That's 2 weeks from today. Our National Day of Prayer on May the 2nd at 12 o'clock. You'll be hearing more details concerning that. And that is also the day for our community giveaway. We have needs for paper towels and cleaning products and all that kind of stuff. So if you would like to give in that regard, you can. And there's a drop-in baby shower for Amanda Wood from 10 to 12. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce that farm. Panola, is that right? Hey, I did good. Okay, Panola Farms, 1195 Taylor Mill Road. And that's on May the 4th. And then on Sunday, May the 5th, is going to be the memorial service in regards to our piano, the Cleveland Memorial Piano Fund. It's open for donations at this time, but on that day we'll have a memorial service and be honoring in memory of Bob and Barbara. If you have pictures, Nancy would love to have those to share. And also put your name on the back so that we get those back to you, okay? A new commandment I give you. Now, say it with a little more gusto. You know what you said it? We are so tired of this. By this, a new commandment I give you, love one another, okay? I hope you love with a greater zeal than that, okay? Let's try it again. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Hey, that is good. As I have loved you, you must by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you. Thank you, thank you. We've studied so many things. We're to be patient with one another. I think we talked about that last week. That's one of those ways in which we love people. Understand, folks, we're all different. We're all different, just as you'll see today. The disciples were different. We're different. Your interests are not necessarily the interest of other people. What you're zealous for, they might not be as zealous, but they're zealous for something else that you might not be zealous of. You know, we have to love one another. We have to be patient with one another, and we have to accept one another. We have to accept one another as we are because we are different, okay? And our opening scripture, share it with me if you would, is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Share it with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Did you hear that? You will be my witnesses throughout the world. You going to be sharing with us? Okay, let's bow together.
Hey, Carla, how can I get some diapers to you?
Oh, that's right. So for Families for Families is the organization that we will be hearing from as well during the ladies' tea. So if you have not yet bought your diapers and baby wipes, you can get me the money today and tomorrow, and we can get them delivered and drop shipped here if that's what you like. If it's easier for you, I'll be glad to do that for you. Thank you for asking.
All right, Job 1:21 says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Let the name of the Lord be praised." The more we worship God in and out of suffering, the more we form a response of praise in any circumstances. So let's bless the name of the Lord by praising, exalting, and worshiping Him this morning. If you would stand.
Darkness closes. Him, Lord. Still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. There's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all
Six 12. I will praise you with all my heart. So let's praise the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit this morning with Glorify Thy Name.
We love. Glorify thy name. worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Thank you so much for the marvelous music. I invite you this morning to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We'll look at the first six verses of this chapter. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Stop and think with me, if you would, about the men that the Lord chose to be the 12 apostles, his disciples. The 12 had been chosen months earlier. We find that if we turn back to Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, where it says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, who he also designated apostles. All night long on the mountainside, we find Jesus praying to get direction of the choosing of the 12. Think about those men, if you would. Several were fishermen. One was a former tax collector for Rome. A couple of them had somewhat of a quick temper. James and John, known as the what? Sons of thunder. Wow. And you know, Peter sometimes had a little problem with what he said and how he said it as well. And then one was a traitor, not a believer at all. All of them were common men. But in spite of their diversities, their weaknesses, the Lord used these men to turn the world upside down for His glory. And if He can use them, He can use us to turn Fort Valley upside down for His glory. For some time now, the disciples had been following Jesus. They've been listening to Him teach. They've been watching Him utilize divine power and performing miracles. Jesus, too, has been drawing them aside and teaching them and mentoring them so that the time could come where He could send them out with the message of the gospel, going out on their own. Now, this passage that we just read gives us the details of the Lord's commissioning of His disciples for their first missionary trip. Just as Jesus had a mission for the 12 disciples, He has a mission for us as well, and we too have been commissioned. If you'll allow me, I would like to combine two verses, actually three verses of Scripture, and put them together. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is our commissioning. When He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, being My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Going out, making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey. This is what we've been studying on Wednesday morning. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I am going to be with you. That should give them a sense of peace as they go out. As Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. It reminds me of when I was in New Orleans for the first time. We were down in the French Quarter, and we had parked the car near what used to be called Jack's Brewery. It's a shopping center area, and we had wandered down there to the French Market area, and we got lost. But I had Chester with me. Now, Chester was an Indian. And let me tell you something. I saw him in a pair of shorts. Not a pretty sight. But the calf of his leg down here was bigger than my thigh. I mean, his calves were like this. He was like up here. He was like Big John in Jimmy Dean's old song, you know? He was quite a man. He was like this. So even though we were lost, I wasn't concerned whatsoever because Chester was with me. And we walked down this street. It wasn't lit real well, but a man was closing up his business and he was shutting the iron gates of his business. And we asked him, "Where is Jack's Brewery?" We parked near Jack's Brewery. He says, "It's only about 3 blocks this way, but don't go this way." He says, "Go back about a block or two, go over 3 or 4 blocks, and then make your way over there." But you know, I would say, I'll go anywhere with Chester. Nobody's going to bother me with Chester. And you know, we should have that same feeling as the Lord has commissioned us to go out with boldness. He says, "I am with you always." That should give us a boldness, a fearlessness. Now, let's look at their commission, the commissioning of the disciples and their work. And in we can learn more about how the Lord expects us to serve Him as we go out. Before He sent them out, we're right here in this chapter 9 of Luke, He supplied them with everything they needed to get the job done. Understand that God never asks you to do something or expects you to do something that He doesn't equip you to do. In that first verse, the latter part of it, it says, He gave them power, He gave them authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases. He gave them power, which is the ability to accomplish the task. He gave them authority, which is the right to do it. Power and authority. Jesus gave both to His disciples, and they were able to cast out demons. They were able to heal the sick. But the most important thing He gave them was that of preaching the gospel. The word "preach" in the 6th verse of this 9th chapter right here speaks of a herald proclaiming a message for the king. It means to preach the good news. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, "We are therefore Christ," what? "Ambassadors." Ambassadors. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, an authorized messenger, a representative. "We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." As a child of God, God's Spirit dwells within us. We too have power. We too have authority through His Spirit that is within us. Miracles were one evidence that the Lord had sent them and were working through them. But today we test a person's ministry by the truth of the Word of God. In the 6th chapter of Mark, verse 7, we discovered that He sent them out two by two and gave them authority. That's how they were to go out, two by two. Why did He send them out in that way? I believe it goes back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 16, verse 15, where it says, to fulfill the requirement of the law, it required a testimony of at least two witnesses. Two witnesses. So He sent them out two by two. That was also the method that John the Baptist used. If you look back to the 7th chapter, verses 18 and 19, he sent the two out. Sending them out two by two also provided the men with some companionship. It provided them with encouragement. It provided them with a prayer partner. If you look in Acts chapter 13, that's going back to the early church, the church at Antioch, it says in that 2nd and 3rd verse, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Two, Barnabas and Saul. It's still a great method. In fact, I encouraged our deacons here to get a partner, a ministry partner, a partner that was different than they were. You know, some people are a little bit shy, and other people, they'll talk to anybody, anywhere, at any time, right? Some of you fit one of those two categories. Now, you don't want to partner up with another shy person, do you? If you're shy, you want to partner up with somebody that's outgoing, that can talk to anybody. A ministry partner. It's wonderful for deacons to do that. So when they're reaching out in the hospitals and going to the shut-ins or visiting just their families, they can have that encouragement. They can have that partner in ministry. One of the most successful outreach programs from a church that I was ever a part of, we sent people out in groups of three even. There's something about that. You know, there's a greater courage, a greater boldness. I take you over to the book of Ephesians, and Paul is ending his letter to the church in Ephesus in that sixth chapter. And let me read the 18th verse as well of that sixth chapter as he closes things down, because he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions." He's challenging them there in their prayer life. He says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for one another here in your church. Pray for the other churches. Pray for those in Philippi. Pray for those in Corinth. Pray for all the saints." And then he comes down to some personal prayer concerns that he wants them to pray. In the 19th verse, he says, "Pray also for me." Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He says that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will be fearless, or that I will fearlessly make known the ministry of the gospel. Now, the ESV and the King James Version uses the word boldly or fearlessly. So we could say it in this way, that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly or boldly as I should. Boldness. We need it, don't we? Sometimes we're not as bold in sharing the gospel, or we're not quite fearless in sharing the gospel. But when you have a partner, you have that encouragement and you have a greater boldness when it comes to sharing and preaching the gospel. Today we're empowered by the Holy Spirit that dwells within. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shared it as we began worship. It says, "But you will receive power." You will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you are saved, and it says, "And you will be my witnesses." The Holy Spirit, we're told about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, 16. And it says that the Holy Spirit that is within us will teach us all things. We know that God's Word is God-breathed. God's Spirit brought about this Word that we have in our hands right here. And that Spirit dwells within us. And what better teacher could we have than God's Spirit that's within us as we look into God's Word? He will teach all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Just when you need it, God's Spirit will give you what you need. It also tells us that God's Spirit that's within us will testify about Jesus. As a child of God, God's Spirit within us, all we've got to do is turn it loose. We're also told that God's Spirit will convict the world of guilt. As you share and as you relate God's truth to those around you, God's Spirit will convict that person. And we're also told that God's Spirit that's within us will bring glory to Jesus. The 12 were sent out to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, and they were to be concerned with men's bodies as well as their souls. You know, we may be weak in our words, and we may feel that our testimony lacks power, but Jesus has promised to give us His power. Therefore, we can go into the world and share the gospel, knowing that He has called us and has empowered us to do just that. As part of His commissioning, Jesus gave His disciples some specific commands. He said, travel light. My goodness. Now, these are men. Now, if there happened to have been lady apostles back then, that would have been a more difficult command right there, you know. There have been times when I've gone out of the house for vacation with a backpack on my back, and then I was loading up 3 or 4 suitcases for Cheryl, you know, in the back of the car. But he said, travel light. They were to take nothing with them for their journey. That's the third verse right here. They could take the shoes on their feet, the clothes on their back. They were not to take a bag or bread or money or an extra tunic. It says travel light. And as you read this, you can see there seems to be a sense of urgency in what he's saying. He says, just simply go. You know, there's still a sense of urgency that comes with the gospel. The time to tell others the gospel message is today. Now, I've been repeatedly asking you to pray for the search committee, haven't I? I tell you today, continue to pray for your search committee. You need a pastor. But let me tell you something. You don't need just any pastor. God has that special person. And is my, I'm going to ask you to pray specifically because I believe this is what this church needs. I pray that your prospective pastor might be obsessed with the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this community. Because I sense that that might have been a weakness somewhere along the line in the life of this church. It's very important that we accept that commissioning that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to go and to share the gospel and to sense the urgency of it. The time to tell others the gospel message is today. That's when it needs to be done. He gives them some more directions. They were to accept the hospitality of the local people, and they were to stay in whatever house they were invited to stay in. That's in the 4th verse right here. And they were to take what they were given, and they were to be happy with it. We too must learn to be content with the things that he provides. I remember I took a couple of trips to Romania. I led one of the trips that we went on, and before we left, of course, we would meet with the people, and I would say, listen, the place that you're going to be staying is probably one of the best places in the village. We went out into the villages. It's probably one of the best places. And these folks are going to put their best foot forward. And you do not need to complain. You need to accept what is there. You need to receive it, understanding that it might not be exactly what you like and what you want. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples here. I remember, I really believe on one of the trips that I took that the family had killed a hog maybe the week before or shortly before we arrived because everything we had was pork. I had some bologna like I'd never had before. You know, a thick slab of bologna like this, you know, about that thick for breakfast. Now, I don't normally eat thick sliced bologna like that for breakfast. It wasn't Oscar Mayer, okay? It wasn't. And, you know, I always, you know, I don't always eat drink room temperature carbonated kiwi. He says, be happy with what's provided for you. Stay in the house that's there. Don't be looking around for other places to stay. If somebody opens up their house to you, just rejoice in that. And in the sixth verse, we find that they were obedient. The Christian life is not always comfortable. Serving the Lord is anything but comfortable sometimes. But we are to trust Him and take care, trust Him knowing that He's going to take care of our needs. Now, when the disciples entered a village, we're in the fifth verse, and their message was rejected, they were to leave that village and do what? Shake the dust off their feet, off their sandals, off their clothing. You know, the Jews often did this when they were returning home from a journey into the land of the Gentiles or the land of the Samaritans, the pagans, those people that they hated. Before they crossed back into Israel, they would shake the dust off their clothes, off their shoes. It represented a total disassociation from the pagans and the pollution of their country. Now, there's something very interesting here. Because we're blessed with more than one gospel, this event that we're reading about in Luke is also recorded in the 10th chapter of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 10, it says that he told the 12 that they were not to go among the Gentiles or any of the towns of the Samaritans, but their mission was to go to the lost sheep of Israel. So as he's sending them out, he's sending them to the Jews. And as they're going into the different villages of the Jews, if the gospel is rejected, they are to shake the dust off of their feet as they were leaving the Jewish villages that rejected the gospel. And as they did this is the important thing, they were saying to those Jews, those Israelites who rejected the gospel, that they were no better than the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Think about that. Jesus told the 12 to do this as a sign that those who rejected the gospel would face a harsh judgment someday. And so they went. Verse 6. The disciples went out in the power of the Lord. They saw His power at work through them. God will also confirm His work in us and through us in powerful ways. In that outreach program that I was talking about, where we sent them out in threes, we discovered as we made these visits, we sent out at one time 25 teams of three every week. We discovered that for every 17 times the gospel was shared, one would come to Christ. Now that was in that situation. But what we need to do is to understand that our responsibility is to share the gospel. We can't save anybody. God's Spirit through us can present the gospel with power. The gospel through us can convict people of sin. God will confirm His work through us in a powerful way. Today we see the power of the Lord at work as lives are being changed. The greatest miracle the Lord can ever achieve is the salvation of a human soul. Our Savior is in the life-changing, soul-saving business, and He desires us to have a part in His ministry. We do that in a powerful way. Listen. Share your testimony with people. All of our testimonies are different. We got saved at different ages. I got saved when I was almost 9 years old, in October of 1959. I was saved. You might have been 12. You might have been 18. I had Christian parents, and I was in church before I was born. You might not have had Christian parents. Our testimonies are different, but yet they're the same. Because I can say of myself, the time came when the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. I repented of my sin and asked God to forgive me. I experienced God's love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, as by faith I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the basics of it. And that is something that all children of God have in common. And that's the message the world needs to hear from you. It's powerful when you can say, "Let me tell you what happened to me." Our God is in the soul-saving business. And one of the most amazing truths you'll ever learn is that He desires to have you to be a part of it. When we hear His call, when we accept His commission, and we walk in faith and share His message with a lost and dying world, we can expect Him to honor His word and save lost souls. There are those here today who are saved. You're a child of God. There's no doubt in your mind about it. But you've been holding back, maybe out of fear, maybe fear of failure. You need to let go of that fear today in order to share God's message of salvation. You need to be like Paul and pray for boldness and fearlessness. And that you might have the words to share at just the right time. Perhaps today you need to come before the Lord and commit to doing what He has called you to do. Today you might need to get that partner. It might be a friend. And say, "Would you be my ministry partner?" I feel a need to be a part of reaching this community with the love of Jesus Christ. Would you be my ministry partner? And you know, there would be nothing more exciting for a new pastor as he comes to the church for many of you to come and say, "I've got a ministry partner and I'm ready to go out with you in reaching this community for Jesus Christ." Turning it upside down for His glory. Are you ready to make such a commitment? You have been commissioned by Jesus Christ. Go and begin right here in Fort Valley. And then move to the county, the state, the country, the world. Jerusalem, Judea, all of Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Are you ready? If you're here this morning and you've never repented of your sin, you've never asked God for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior through faith, if He's working in your life this morning, drawing you to Himself, you need to come and be saved. And you know, it could just might be this morning that there is a child of God here and the Lord is working in your life, wanting you to enter some type of full-time Christian service. And I can just see what you're thinking right now. I'm 60 years old. I'm 70 years old. I'm 80 years old. Just think of Moses. I think Moses was up in years, wasn't he? When God says, I've got something for you to do, and what was it? It was full time, wasn't it? It could very well be that God has something. He wants you to commit all that you are to right now at your age, where you are, in service to Him. If God is leading you and directing you in that way, I encourage you to come this morning and share how the Lord is working in your life. We have been commissioned to be a part of what God wants to do right here in Fort Valley, Peach County, and even throughout the world. Are you ready? Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word, for the commissioning that you've given us. Lord, I pray that just as the disciples were obedient, that we too might receive that challenge and be obedient and start right here where this church is and begin to expand out in reaching this community, reaching this town, and turning it upside down for your glory. May you be glorified. And Lord, we thank you for this unimaginable privilege of serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we share in this time of invitation?
Thank you.
hope at least someone here this morning was thinking about, who could I partner up with? I hope that God's Spirit might have led you just to ask yourself that question. Who can I partner up with? If you've had that thought, please don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. Find that person so that you can say to your new pastor, let me introduce you to my ministry partner. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. What would it be like for that new pastor if just five groups of two came to him? Wow. With him with a partner, that would make six groups of two who are ready to hit this community. And making three visits a week apiece. That's 18 visits. Times 52 weeks would be almost, is my math right? Close to 1,000 houses in a year. Wow. By simply going out one evening and attempting to make three visits. Do you think if this church with these teams touched 1,000 houses this next year, that it would make a difference? Yes. With the power of God's Spirit through you as you go, trust me, lives will be changed. The life most powerfully changed will be yours, and this church will be changed. Father, we thank you for the challenges of your word. May we, as we leave this place today, go out in a spirit of gratitude as well as a commissioning, that we might share your truths and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.